Amen. Thank you, Tammy and Gary. Very proud of the children yesterday. We had a good time, didn't we? The guys were here. We had a very good time. They were raising money for the Andy Armstrong Easter offering. As Keith said, they raised over $900. And collectively, they all rode on the little bicycles 43 miles. Is that right? 43 miles. That's awesome, man. They were chugging. Some of these little kids were doing good. Appreciate you guys very much. And our kids rock, don't they? Can I say that? They do. They're awesome. And all right. So I want to welcome visitors. Anybody's coming in for the first time, welcome. And a few folks are sick. Miss Mary, yeah, we're praying for her. And Paul, he's not feeling well. And Jamie. And anyone else not feeling well, we miss you, but we want to say a special prayer for you this morning for sure. And amen. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14. You have your Bibles? Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. Please hang out with us this afternoon. We're going to eat some good food, and the kids play, and maybe find some Easter eggs, and the old rain's not going to mess us up. Mr. Frankie said we were looking out the window one time during a sunrise service, so we can hide Easter eggs around in the church, can't we? I think God would just think that was awesome. So, yes, sir. I'm not sure. We might. I might dig one in a hole in the ground and cover it up. You think you can find him? That's B. Y'all ever say hi to B? B was riding that bicycle, boy. He was chugging. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. We appreciate the innocence of children. We love them. We thank you. Well, we wish we had hundreds of them running around here. And maybe we will in the future. And we just love you. Thank you for our youth also. We love our youth and everything that's going on in the youth department and youth ministry. And thank you for the leaders there, Adam and Lori, and how they have a servant's heart. And we're just so thankful for that. We don't ever want to take them for granted. And all the folks who run back there at Children's Church and Nursery and that are just serving you behind the scenes, Lord. We just thank you for that. Thank you for putting it on people's hearts to do that. And Lord, we thank you for Palm Sunday, the music, and everybody that participates in making this all happen on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And Lord, bless this time we have together. Help me out with the scripture and the message you put on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Matthew 14, 22 through 33 says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go. He didn't ask them, did he? What did he say? He made them. So, you know, so there's a lot of leadership principles when you're studying about Jesus, but that's a whole other subject. Let me start over. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "Ah, it's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart. Said, it is I. Do not be afraid." And then Peter answered and says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." I could hear him, right? He said, "Come on." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, ye little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." There's something about a song that can bring forth emotions within us and cause people to remember significant moments in time. Would you agree? It may be the beat or the rhythm that stirs up a cherished memory. Or sometimes it's the chorus that can create a feeling so strong that it seems to transport a person back in time to another place in a different day. Songs are powerful reminders. They're reminders of important snapshots and seasons in our life. This past Wednesday night in Bible study, Tammy shared about a touching time in her life where an old hymn sung today can take her back in time and still gives her strong feelings and emotions. Thank you, Tammy, for sharing your story. It blessed me. I think we all have similar songs that will do that for us in our life. Some of those memories are good, and maybe some of those memories are not so good. On Palm Sunday, which we're celebrating today, we can only imagine how Peter was impacted by the song being sung on the day that he and the other disciples walked with Jesus into Jerusalem. They were singing a song. It was a triumphal entrance into this glorious day. Thousands of people were coming. They were making their way from surrounding areas in the countryside, and they were coming over to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of Passover. As the crowds came closer, they sang songs that stirred up deep emotions. These emotions come down from generations and generations. Their ancestors had sung these songs for centuries. They sang songs that reminded them of how God had rescued them from their enemies. All throughout history, they sang these songs. Especially the great original Passover. This Passover that led to the exodus out of Egypt, that delivered them out of slavery. Matthew's gospel records the scene and the lyrics to this entry music being sung on this day. That's what we want to focus on this morning. Matthew 21, 6 and 9. Matthew 21, 6 and 9. And I'll read it. It says, "The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their cloaks. And put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him, and they followed him, and they were all shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Anybody remember the old song? "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." I used to love that old song. Peter was probably singing this song, not that one, but Peter was singing the song as he and the other disciples were walking in with Jesus. You see, he knew this song by heart. All disciples did. This Hosanna song that we're talking about was a well-known tune that every Jew knew. And they sang this song with gusto. It was a celebration to them. The lyrics came straight out of Psalms 118 that cried out to God for salvation and rescue and deliverance to a successful and new life. That's what they were singing about, a new life. Psalms 118, 25, and 26, which is our memory verse for this week. Psalms 118, 25, and 26 says, "Save us, we pray. O Lord, we pray. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Save us, it says. Hosanna in the Hebrew word means save us. That's what it means. Hosanna means save us. And it's related to a noun, Yeshua. And Yeshua translates into salvation. Now, most Bible scholars believe that Jesus' original Hebrew name is Yeshua. I thought he said Yeshua. Now, let me change gears a little bit here with you. There are a set of songs in Psalms, it's hard to say, 113 through 118, and it's known as the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. Anybody familiar with that? I wasn't either until I started studying this and putting it together. It's called the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. And it's the Psalms between 113 and 118. I encourage you to go read them sometime when you got a little time. These songs tell the story of how God saved his people from Egypt and from the slavery. And they sung these songs during all their celebrations and all their festivals and feasts and everything. They sung them with gusto. I could just see them sitting around, you know, singing these songs. As Jewish pilgrims traveled their way to the Feast of Passover, they would sing as they're going down the road. I could see them kind of like the military, you know, singing these songs in unison. You know, they were singing these songs, and it was called the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. Now, they sang them to remember God's deliverance, God's rescue, and God's salvation. They praised God for who God was and what God did for them. Now, let's take a little bit and let's look at these Egyptian Hallel Psalms. Now, the word Hallel, everybody say it with me. Hallel, okay? The word is Hallel, in the Hebrew, it means praise. It means praise. Thus, they would sing these praise songs of hallelujah to God who saved them. Let's look at that word, hallelujah. Hallelujah is a two-part word. The first part is hallel, which means what? Praise. And then that yulia, that hallelujah, that yulia part was a short version of Yahweh. You know, they were very sensitive about, you know, saying God's name and using, you know, his real name and all that. So they would shortcut God's name. But so hallelujah means praise God. And when you translate it more into the English, it's about the Lord. It's basically praise the Lord. So when we say hallelujah, it means what? Praise the Lord. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it means praise the Lord. Somebody probably knew that, but you know, some interesting stuff I like to dig around in. So let's get back to Peter. Is that okay? Now, we can't really be sure what Peter was thinking about as he entered Jerusalem. Okay? And he's with the disciples and Jesus, and they're entering into Jerusalem. Can't really, you know, be sure what he was thinking. But I like to imagine that maybe Peter was having a flashback. The song that they were singing kind of moved him back in time to his emotions. Perhaps the song transported Peter back to a moment that he thought about how he was rescued, like the movie, how he was rescued by the Lord. The moment of magnitude for Peter happened during a terrible storm, and he and his disciples had experienced that night with Jesus. It had not been too long. He's walking into Jerusalem. It hadn't been too long since Jesus was saved by Jesus. I mean, Peter was saved by Jesus. The scene takes place in the scripture that we originally read at the beginning of the message of Matthew 14. Peter finds himself in the middle of the storm, rowing for his life in the late hours of the night. And before he knew it, he was stepping out of the boat, walking on the water, going toward Jesus. And then Peter took his eyes off Jesus. He heard and noticed the circumstances around him. And instantly he became a man in desperate need of rescue, of being saved by Jesus. And he even cried out to the Lord and said, "Save me! Save me." Peter was experiencing at that moment Faith mixed with fear and doubt. Peter was walking a fine line between faith and fear. This was an incredible scene, a beautiful story. At times, we Christians today live in this tension of faith and fear. What happens is we begin to take our eyes off Jesus and place it on the circumstances that are going on in our life. And then we stop singing. We stop singing songs of thankfulness and gratefulness about the Lord, don't we? I've done it. Probably most of us have. But you see, Peter didn't completely go underwater. Jesus saved him. He caught Peter by the wrist and pulled him back in and got him in the boat. And then the guys within the boat, they all got together and they worshiped him, the scripture tells us. You see, this is a good example how Jesus comes to help his people in the storms of life. He will rescue us. He will reach out to us. And he will deliver us out of our troubles. David in the Old Testament said, "This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles." You see, the high point of this story is not when Jesus calmed the storm, even though that's a miracle in itself. But the high point to me is when those men in that boat confessed that Jesus is the Son of God and they worshiped him. Now, perhaps, maybe they sang a song. Maybe they just bowed before Jesus in that boat. Or maybe they were so overcome with his power and his mercy that they just sat there quietly in reverence and remembered what the Lord God said in Psalms 46:10. He said, "Be still and know that I am God." Amen? I'm sure later on they would talk about that story, don't you think? They were a rough little crew. I'm sure they talked about it later, how Jesus saved them. Peter and his wild self jumped out of that boat, started walking to Jesus. I can't say it. Don't want to add anything to the Bible, but if it was me, I'd have poked Peter for a while on that one. Wouldn't you? Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, 4, 5, 6 months later, hey, you jumped out of that boat around, you took your eyes off Jesus. Jesus had to save you. You talking all your smack around here? I roughed him up. Well, I'm telling you, I might talk to him when I get to heaven about that too. Probably not. Yes, sir. But really, you know. But one thing for sure is that Peter would never forget it. It got deep in there. Never forget it. Peter would never forget what it meant to be saved and rescued by Jesus. And when they were walking in that triumphal entry into Jerusalem with Jesus and disciples, maybe he had a flashback. Maybe a little moment where he remembered that storm when he heard that song, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest." Maybe he had a little thought back. Man, I remember when Jesus saved me. I remember when he rescued me and I was sinking in that water. You see, music has a way of moving us in and out of significant moments in our lives. We would never know this side of heaven exactly what may or may not have flashed through Peter's mind during that day. But regardless, Peter's heart was full, I'm sure. And his voice was loud as he joined the chorus of that song that their ancestors sung year after year after year. Little children hear those songs as they raised up and became adults. The Egyptian Hallel song of 118 was full volume that day. It was ringing loud and clear as it began to walk into that city. It was celebratory. It was a celebration. It would be the same, if you study, it would be the same song that traditionally would conclude the Passover meal that they were soon approaching. Psalms 118 was probably the last song, that Peter and the disciples and the Lord would sing together before Jesus would make his way to the cross. Jesus came to save us. That's what his Hebrew name originally was, Yeshua. God saves. Listen to this. The cross would be where the ultimate exodus would take place. The cross of Christ would lead to the true exodus from the slavery of sin, from death, hell, and the grave, for all those who will believe in the name of Jesus and the gospel and the death, burial, and resurrection. John 3:16, as we all know, and I'm going to read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Zechariah 9:9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He's righteous. Salvation is he. He is humble and mounted on a donkey. This is Zechariah. On Palm Sunday, Jesus was on his way to answer the prayer of the chorus that had been sung throughout the ages to be our salvation. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Save us, O God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross to defeat death, be raised on the third day. Lord, as we get closer and closer to celebrate this Easter morning, Lord, thank you for Palm Sunday. Thank you for everything that it means to us. You're working your way to the cross. Yes, you are our King and Lord and Savior. Lord, if there's one here today that's never met the King, has never met Jesus, Father, we do the song of invitation. I ask that you put it in their heart, Father, that you call them. You said today is the day of salvation. They will come down and speak with me and give their life to Christ. Well, we love you. In Jesus' name, where we pray. Amen.